start from Pei Ches Amad Aleph. It's about 20 lines down by the two dots. So the Mishnah told us, Yasom Sheshachtu Olav Apitropsin. We said that if you have an orphan who has multiple guardians who are in charge of him, and they shechted separate Karbanos Pesach in different Chaburas, we said that the orphan can participate in whichever group he wants. So the Gemara once again says, Shema Amina Yesh Breira, just as we saw on yesterday's daf, the Gemara is inferring from our Mishnah, seemingly, that there is a principle of Breira, of retroactive clarification, because otherwise, how can the orphan decide which group to participate in if he didn't know at the time of the Shechita? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Amar Rav Zeira, Sela Bayis Mikol Makom. Since the pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Sela Bayis, it says that every household, every family has to have a lamb or has to have a kid shechted for the Karban Pesach. So you see from that pasuk that anyone who's part of the household is automatically going to be part of the Karban Pesach, regardless of whether they knew in advance. So the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan, Sela Bayis Malamit Shad Mevi V'Shochet Alidei Beno Uvito Aktanim Va'Alidei Avdo V'Shechasov Aknanim Bein Mid. So the first brisa says that basically a person can go ahead and shecht the Karban Pesach on behalf of his children who are under Bar and Bas Mitzvah, or for his Eved or Shivcha Kananis, whether or not they're on board, whether or not they give their consent. However, when it comes to your children who are over Bar and Bas Mitzvah, or when it comes to an Eved or a Shivcha, when it comes to an Eved to an Eved Ivri, or to an Am Ha'ivriya, or when it comes to one's wife, so in all of those cases they require their consent in order to participate in the karban. You cannot force them to partake of your karban business. That's the first brisa. Then the Gemara says, Tani idach, we have another brisa that says, Lo yishchot adam lo al yidei beno uvito agedolim ba'ayidei avdo v'shivchaso ha'ivrim li'al yad ishto ela midaitan avo shochiru al yidei beno uvito aktanim ba'ayidei avdo v'shivchaso ha'kananim bein midaitan uvein shalom midaitan v'chulan sheshachtu v'shachad rabban alein yotzin b'shal rabban. So this second brisa basically says the following. It says that again, a person is not allowed to shecht for their kids who are over bar and bas mitzvah, or for an eved ivriya or an amah ivriya without their das, or for their wife. But for the kids who are under bar and bas mitzvah, or for an eved or shivcha kananis, we said that that's okay. You can do it even without their das. However, the brisa then continues and says that if, let's say, for example, the master in the case of the eved, or the husband in the case of the wife, or the father in the case of the kids, goes ahead and shechts the karban even without their das, so then those kids are going to be yotze the mitzvah. However, but in the case of the wife needs to give her consent, in other words, in order to participate, because the wife has the ability to protest participating in the karban. Why does she have the right to protest? Because since, in general, a wife has the ability to say to her husband, I don't want you to support me, I'd rather keep my own earnings, my own wages, and support myself. So too, in the case of the Karban Pesach, she has the right to basically say, I don't want to participate in your Karban Pesach. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Isha, why does the Braisa single out the case of the wife? In other words, presumably the same standard should apply for kids over Bar and Bas Mitzvah and an Eved Ivri and an Amah Ivriya. They too have their own Das. They should also be able to participate in their own Karban and not be forced to be part of the husband's or the father's or the master's Karban. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Rava Isha V'chol D'damila. So Rava says, you're right. The Braisa just meant to say that anyone similar to the wife, in other words, anyone who has dots, whether that means the kids who are over Bar and Bas Mitzvah or an Eved Ivri or an Amah Ivriya, they do not have to participate in the Karban Pesach of the husband, master, or father. They can participate in their own Karban Pesach. So now the Gemara asks, Hagufakashi, we seem to have an internal contradiction. Amar chutzmina isha sheyecholo limchos taima demache. Hallo mache nafka bishal baila. V'hakatani reisha v'lo ayidei ishto elami daitan hastama lo nafka. So we're getting contradictory implications from the brisa, because on the one hand, the brisa tells us that the only reason why the wife cannot be forced to participate in the Karban Pesach of the husband is because she has the ability to protest. She can say, I don't want to participate, I want to do my own karman. So the implication is that if she doesn't actively protest, if she doesn't speak up and say, I don't want to be part of the karban, the baseline is that of course she's going to be part of that Karban Pesach. The problem is that the first half of the brisa told us that the only way a woman can participate is midaitan, is if she actively gives her consent, implying that if she's neutral, if she doesn't say anything one way or another, it sounds like that's not good enough. So in other words, the question is, if the wife doesn't say anything one way or another, should we assume that she wants to participate in the Karban or not? So we're getting contradictory implications from the brisa. So the Gemara says, no. Mai ela midaitan lav damrien ela bistama lav All the Braisa meant to say is if the woman actively says, I don't want to participate in the Karban, so then she doesn't participate. But anything short of that, in other words, even if she's just neutral, she doesn't say anything, the assumption is that she does, in fact, want to participate in the Karban. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hakulam sheshachtu v'shachad rabban aliyan yotzin b'sharabban divistama v'katani chutz mina isha mipnei sheyechol alimchos. But the Braisa told us that if the master or the father or the husband goes ahead and shechts the Karban on behalf of everyone else, so all the other people, the kids under Bar and Bas Mitzvah and the Eved Ivri, and the Eved Shicha Kananis, are Yotze with that Karban, and the assumption is that in that case, they never specified what their intention was. It was a neutral case, and the Braisa still excluded a wife from that, which implies that if the wife is neutral, so then she too can still be Yotze. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava, Kevin Sheshachtu Ein Lecha Michu Gadol Mizeh. Rava says that the fact that the wife goes ahead and has a Karban Shechted on her behalf as part of a different Chabura is the greatest indication that she doesn't want to be part of the husband's chabura. So in other words, even if the wife doesn't say anything at all, but she just goes ahead and signs up for some other person's chabura, that's the biggest proof that she doesn't want to participate in the husband's Karban Pesach. So in other words, you don't always need the wife to explicitly say, I don't want to join in the Karban Pesach. The fact that she's going to a different chabura is the greatest proof that she doesn't want to participate in the husband's Karban. Okay. Then the
Mishnah, yeah. How can minor children slaughter their own Karban Pesach?
No, so in other words, they can't, so in the case of kids under Bar and Bas Mitzvah, we said in the brace already that the father can shecht on their behalf whether they give their consent or not, because in halacha, they don't have das, right? So they can't give their consent almost. In other words, even if they say, I want to participate, for all intents and purposes, it's a meaningless statement because they're not b'nei das. So.
I mean, listen, Artsbrook says, if any of their minor children slaughtered their own Pesach offering, so I'm just curious how they could even be.
Well, I mean, they could shecht. I mean, meaning in theory, they could shecht. I'm saying, but the idea that we're talking about here is the father shechting on their behalf, right? In other words, they don't have to give their consent in order for the father to do that.
Right.
Okay. Then the Mishnah told us, Eved Shel Shnei Shutvin. If you have a servant that's owned by two people in partnership, so we said that Eved can also not participate in either of their Karbanos Pesach. So the Gemara says, Rami Le Rav Ina Savala Rav Nachman. Tanan, Eved Shel Shnei Shutvin Lo Yochal Mishel Shnayan. V'hasan Yoratzim Yizeocha, Ratzim Yizeoch. So Rav Ina Savala raised the following question to Rav Nachman. He says, there seems to be a further contradiction, because the Mishnah told us that if an Eved is owned by two people in partnership, so the Eved can't eat from either of their karbanos. But then we have another brisa that indicates that he can pick from whichever group he wants to eat from. So which one is it? So Amar Le, Eina Sava, V'amri Lapasi Uchma, Mini Minach Testayim Shmeitza, Masnisen B'dekapte Adade, Brisa Delo Kapte Adade. So Rav Eina Sava, so Rav Nachman says to him, he called him either Eina Sava, that was his name, or Pasi Uchma was this like, was like a very honorary title. It literally means a black pot. It's an indication of the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham, that he really exerted himself in his Torah learning. So he says, between the two of us, we could resolve this contradiction. Basically, the case of the Mishnah where the servant cannot eat from either of their karbanos is talking about a case where the two masters, are makbid about one another. In other words, they don't want the Eved to go to the other guy. And in the Braisa, where the Eved can pick and choose whichever group he wants, is a case where the two masters don't really care. Okay, then we said, Mishachetsu Eved v'chetsu ben chorin lo yochal misharabah. The Mishnah said that if a person is a half slave and half free, so then he cannot partake of the karban of the master. So the Gemara infers, Mishal Rabba hu delo yochal, avo Mishal atzmo yochal. The implication is that yes, he cannot partake of the master's Karban Pesach, but it sounds like the guy who's a half slave and half free can in fact partake of his own Karban Pesach. What's the problem with that? V'hatanya, lo yochal, lo Mishalo, v'lo Mishal Rabba. The Braisa says he can't partake of even his own Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, kan commissioner Rishona, kan commissioner Achrona, disnan, Misha chetzu evid, v'chetzu ben chorin, ovedes Rabbo yomechad, v'es atzmo yomechad, div Rebbe Yisrael, v'es shamay omre and tikan. The Gemara references a very famous sugya that appears in Maseches Gittin primarily, where the Gemara discusses the question about how exactly a half-free, half-slave person can even get married in the first place, because basically any way you turn, you're going to run into a problem because a regular Jewish man is not allowed to marry a shifcha kananis, and an eved is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So the guy who's half and half is basically stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what are you supposed to do exactly? So the Mishnah initially presents what seems to be a machlokas about this. So first of all, the Mishnah says that in terms of just who the guy works for, in other words, so the Mishnah says that initially Beis Hillel says that basically one day, in other words, that basically the guy alternates. So one day he works for the master, the next day, you know, he does his own thing because he's free half the time and he's a slave half the time. Whereas Beis Shammai says that solves the problem in terms of who he's working for, but it doesn't resolve the problem of who he's allowed to marry. So Beis Shammai says, again, if you base, in other words, again, he can't marry a shivcha because he's half free. He can't marry a Jewish woman because he's half a slave. On the other hand, you can't just tell the guy to sit idly by and never get married, because as the Gemara cites famously, the world was only created for the mitzvah period of Arivia, to have children. So if you're going to tell the guy to never get married, he's never going to be able to fulfill that mitzvah. So the Gemara says, based on the principle of Tikkun HaOlam, which the Gemara's Maseches Gittin talk about extensively, because we want to make sure that people are able to have children, so we basically force the master to free the other half of the slave, and then the slave has to basically compensate the master for the other half that he's losing. And the Gemara ends, and the Gemara ultimately says that Beis Hillel ultimately retracted his position to subscribe to Beis Shammai. In other words, initially, Beis Hillel said, yeah, just leave the guy as a half slave, half free person, and you know, he'll alternate which day he works for. But it sounds like in terms of the marriage angle, Beis Hillel was not so concerned with this issue, but Beis Shammai was obviously very concerned about it, to the point that he says you have to free the guy, and ultimately Beis Hillel ends up subscribing to the Shita of Beis Shammai. So what the Gemara is, the way the Gemara resolves our original contradiction about whether the half slave, half free person is able to participate in his own Karban Pesach, is basically the Hava Amina of the Mishnah and then the Maskana. And the Hava Amina, Beis Hillel said, yeah, the guy is going to remain a half slave, half free person for the rest of his life. So in that Hava Amina, there was no way for the half slave, half free person to partake of his own Karban. However, in the Maskana, when Beis Hillel ultimately retracted his position and eventually said, yes, I agree with Beis Shammai that you have to free the guy. So once you free him, so now he's a regular Jew, and now he can, of course, partake of his own Karban Pesach. So that's the way that the Gemara ends up resolving this apparent contradiction. Okay. Then the Mishnah.
Rabbi, I guess we're forcing him against the answer, but how could a half slave, half free do any mitzvah? Why would he?
An eved is still chayav in most mitzvahs, right? With the exception of mitzvahs asei shazman grama, right?
Okay.
An eved kenani is not chayav in those, which the Gemara derives because of a comparison to women. Yeah, but he's basically chayav in the majority of mitzvahs. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah now says, Ha'omer la'avdo tseyu shchod alay esa pesach, shachad gedi yochal, shachad tole yochal, shachad gedi vitale yochal min harishon, shachach ma'omer lo rabo, ketzad yase, yishcha tole gedi, v'yomar im gedi omer li rabi, gedi shalo vitale shali, v'im tole omer li rabi, hatale shalo gedi shali, shachach rabo ma'omer lo, shnei anyitu levesa srifa, ufturim milasos pesach sheni. So we know that there are two possible animals that could be used as the carbon paste. Either a kid or a goat, right? So the Mishnah says, so let's say, for example, a guy tells his servant to go and shecht the Karban Pesach, but he never specifies which animal he wants, so then the slave can basically just do whatever he wants. He can shecht whichever animal he wants, and that's not a problem. However, if the servant goes ahead and shechts both animals, so the Mishnah says then the master has to eat from the first one. Let's say the servant forgot what the master told him, which, in other words, he forgot which animal the master wanted, so then what he should do is he should basically shecht both animals and make a stipulation. He says, if my master wanted the goat, then the lamb will be mine, and vice versa. And then the Mishnah says, let's say the master himself forgot what he told the servant. So then the halacha is, the Mishnah says, you have to burn both karbanos because you have no idea which one was meant for the Karban Pesach. However, the Mishnah says that the guy is going to be putter from bringing the Pesach Sheni because the shchita and the zrika of the karban were ultimately done correctly. Okay. So now the Gemara points out, pshita shachat gedi yochal afal gav deragil betaleh, shachat tale yochal afal gav deragil begedi. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? In other words, the Mishnah started out by saying that if the master tells the servant to go and check the karban, that the servant can check whichever animal he wants. Well, that's obvious. Why would you think otherwise? So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush is that even if, let's say, most years the master likes to shech the goat, and this year he wanted the lamb, or vice versa, so that would still be okay. Then the Gemara says, shachar gedi vitala yocham in arishon. Then the Mishnah told us that if the servant shechted both animals, then the master has to eat the first one. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hatanya ein nimnin al shnei psachim ke'echad. Doesn't the Braisa say that you cannot be appointed, you cannot be registered for two animals or for two separate karbanos Shabbos Pesach. You have to pick one. So the Gemara says, no, Masnisin b'melech u'malka. The Mishnah was talking about a case of a king and a queen. What does that mean? Because a king and a queen have servants who are constantly serving them, so they're not so picky in terms of the food they eat, because they know that all the food that's going to be served to them from the servants is going to be good quality anyway. So they're not so picky in terms of, do I want lamb today? Do I want goat today? They know that, you know, that whatever is going to be served to them is going to be good anyway. So then the Gemara says, V'hasanya ain nimnen al shnei psachim ke'echad, u'maisa b'melech u'malka sh'amru la'avdeyem, tzu'u v'shachtu aleinu esa pesach, v'yatzu v'shachtu alein shnei psachim. So again, there was an incident that happened with a king and a queen where they told their servants to go shecht karm pesach on their behalf, and the servants went ahead and shechted both a lamb and a goat. Bo v'shalu esamel, so they went to ask the king which animal they should eat. Amar lohem l'chu v'shalu esamalka, he said, go and ask the queen. Bo v'shalu min hamalka, amar lohem l'chu v'shalu es Rabban Gamliel. So the queen said, go and ask Rabban Gamliel what we should do. So bo v'shalu es Rabban Gamliel, amar lohem, malka u'melech d'daitan kala alei an yochlu min arishon, anan lo nocha lo min arishon v'lo min asheni. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a king and a queen, again, as we just said, they're not so picky because they know that whatever food the servants are going to bring them is going to be good quality anyway. So they don't care if it's the lamb, if it's the goat. So for them, they can partake, they can participate in two separate animals for a Karban Pesach. But a regular person who's much more picky, who's much more makbid about the food that they're going to eat, so they cannot partake of either animal because they had a specific intention in mind. And if you don't remember which animal you wanted to designate as the Karban, then you cannot partake of either one. Then the Gemara has another story. V'shuv pamach as nimtes halta b'vis hamit b'chaim uvikshu l'tamik kol asuda kula. One time in the kitchen of the palace, they found what they thought was a dead lizard. A lizard is one of the Shmona Shratzim, or one of the Shratzim that makes things tame. We know that a Sheretz is only a tame when it's dead. So the servants wanted to say that the entire kitchen is now tame. So bo v'shalu esamela. So they asked the king, amar lehem l'chu v'shalu esamela. Go and ask the queen. Bo v'shalu esamela. Amar lehem l'chu v'shalu es Rabban Gamliel. Again, go ask Rabban Gamliel what we should do. So bo v'shalu. So they asked him, amar lehem beisa mitbachaim roseach otzon. And they asked. So Rabban Gamliel asked the servants, is the kitchen hot or cold? So amar lo roseach. He said, it's hot. We know we're using the ovens and the stoves and whatever. So amar lehem. So Rabban Gamliel said, l'chuva hatilu aleha kos shel tzonei. Take a cup of cold water and pour it on top of the lizard. Holchu vehitilu aleha kos shel tzonei v'richasha v'tir Rabban Gamliel kol hasuda kula. So they pour the cup of cold water on the lizard. And the lizard started to move around, which is an indication that it was still alive. And then as a result, Rabban Gamliel said the entire kitchen is tar because, as we just said, only a dead sheretz is metame, not a live sheretz. So the Gemara says, nimtza melech talu b'malka v'nimtzes malka tuliya b'Rabban Gamliel nimtzes kol hasuda tuliya b'Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara says ultimately everything that happened at these meals, both in terms of declaring the kitchen to be tahor and in terms of the Karban Pesach, everything ultimately revolved around the Psak of Rabban Gamliel. Okay. Then the Mishnah told us, Shachach Masha Amar Lo Rabba. We said in the Mishnah that if the servant forgot what the master said to him, so that he could shecht both animals, both the lamb and the goat, and basically make a stipulation and say that if he meant to tell me this one, then the other one is mine. If he meant to tell me this one, then the other one is going to be for me. So the Gemara asks, Shali Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabba. How can the servant say that either of the animals are going to belong to him? Isn't there a principle in Halacha that anything that a servant acquires automatically goes to the master? So what right does the servant have to say that the other animal, whichever one the master didn't want, is going to be my carbon? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Abaye, holich itzo roa harogio rabo etzlo, denechale besakanta derabe, umakne lichad minayo amenaz she'in l'rabo reshuspo. So what happened was that this servant went to a shepherd that had a good relationship with the master, and he wanted, he wanted to give the master a good animal for the karban. So the shepherd went ahead and gave one of the animals to the servant on the condition that the master has no rights to that animal. Now again, as we just mentioned, generally speaking, whenever an Eved Kenani acquires something, by definition, it goes to the master, unless the person who gives them the item specifically indicates that they don't want the item to go to the master. One is able to do such a thing. One is able to make such a stipulation. So since the shepherd made such a formulation, the animal remain in the possession of the Eved. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Shachach Rabo Masha Amarlo.
Yeah, sir. You reference here that the servant is an Eved Kenani.
Mm-hmm.
How can an Eved Kenani...
If he has a bris mila. If he has a bris mila, he's chayav in Karban Pesach. Remember we just said that
he's allowed to do shechita in Eved Kenani?
He's not allowed. He has to. An Eved Kenani is chayav, right? We said, with the exception of mitzvah seisha asman grama, is chayav in all mitzvahs, with the exception of those couple of mitzvahs seisha asman grama. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Hmm? say we use the concept of Brera, where the master...
Yeah, I mean, we started at the very beginning of this Gemara with the issue of Brera, about the orphans, about if the orphan wants to participate in the Karban. So we said at the time, we don't necessarily know which group, which guardian he's going to be a part of. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have the Pasuk Sela Bayis in Parshas Bo, which teaches that anyone who's part of the household, by definition, is considered to be part of the Karban, regardless of what your stance on Brera is. So again, the Gemara on yesterday's daf and today's daf and tomorrow's daf all references the issue of Brera, but every time the Gemara says we have a Pasuk, we have some kind of a Chiddush that says that this is not a Brera issue. This is a separate issue, basically. Okay, fine. So then the Mishnah told us, Shachach Rabo Masha Amarlo. If, let's say, we said that the master forgot which animal he told the servant to shecht, so then they have to burn both animals. But on the other hand, the Mishnah said that he's also putter from bringing Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, lo shanu alasha shachach achar zrika, de ve'inno de izrik dam havichazi la'achila. Avo shachach lifnei zrika, dechi izrik dam lo havichazi la'achila, chayovin lasos Pesach Sheni. So one version of the Gemara says that this halacha that we said, that if the master forgot which animal he told the servant to shecht, that, you know, in other words, that we have to burn both of them, but he's putter from Pesach Sheni, that's if he forgot after the Zrika Sadam, because that means at the time of the Zrika, the animal was still a kosher animal, was still fit to be used for the Karban Pesach. But if he forgot prior to the Zrika, so then it's going to be, then it's a problem, and then the master is going to be chayiv to bring Pesach Sheni. So then Gemara says, Ika demasi la b'raisa. Some taught this about the following b'raisa. Chamisha shenis arvu oros pischei en zebozeh, v'nimtis yabelas pe'achon mehen, kulan yotzen levesa asreifa uftur milasus pesach sheni. Amar Abai lo shenu ala shenis arvu lachar zrika, de'v'inno de'izrik dam miyahavachazi la'achila, aval nis'arvu lifnei zrika chayovin lasus pesach sheni. So the Gemara says that in this version, the statement of Abai that we quoted, that qualification in the Gemara that we said that this halacha is only if the guy forgot after zrika, but not before zrika, the Gemara made this comment in a different context, namely in the following case. Let's say you have five guys who had separate karbanos pesach. They all shechted their karbanos, and now they're all taking the hides, the skins of the animal, and they find out that on one of the five hides, there's some kind of a mum that would have otherwise disqualified the animal. So now the Gemara says what you have to do is you have to take all the animals and burn them. But on the other hand, everyone is also putter from bringing Pesach Sheni. However, Abai says that ptur from bringing Pesach Sheni is only if they discovered the mum after the Zrika Sadam. If they discovered the mum prior to the Zrika Sadam, then it's going to be a problem, and everyone is going to be chayv to bring Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara comments, Man demasne amasnisin kol shekin abraisa, Man demasne abraisa aval amasnisin lo, kevan dechshir ninu di idkar havi chazi leachila kam yishmaya galya. The Gemara says that basically the bigger chiddush is in the latter case, because in other words, the first case we said of the case where the guy just forgot which animal he said, the animal was fundamentally kosher as a karban, right? Whereas in the second case where they're mixing up the hides and they find that there's a mum on one of them, the mum is a more of an intrinsic problem with the animal. So if you're going to tell me that in the second case of the mum, you're still going to exempt the people from bringing a Pesach Sheni, then kal v'chomer in the first case where there's nothing wrong with the animal, the guy, the owner just forgot which animal he wanted, then kal v'chomer you're going to be putter from Pesach Sheni. But if you think that the ptur from Pesach Sheni is only true in the first case, it's not necessarily going to spill over to the second case, because again, in the second case, there's something intrinsically wrong with the animal. Okay, then the Gemara.
If these animals are being burned, how are they fulfilling their eating of the Karban Pesach?
It's a separate issue. Again, it's possible that they're not going to be able to eat the karban, but they still may be putter from Pesach Sheni anyway, right? In other words, if they accomplished the Zrika and they got kapara from the Zrika Sadam, so it's possible that they're still going to be putter from bringing Pesach Sheni. That's the issue we're trying to figure out here. We're not saying they're going to be yotze in the midst of eating the karban. That's a separate issue, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Mar, ufdur mi lasos Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, hang on one second. How can you say that everyone is putter from Pesach Sheni in the case where they mixed up the five skins, right, and the one of them turns out to have a mum, but the problem is that one of the five guys for sure was not yotze the mitzvah, because you know that one of those five animals had a mum on it. So the Gemara says, no, mishum delo ifshar, because there's really no other way to go about this. Hechi le'evid, what exactly should you do? Leisei kol chad v'chad pesach, kum ma'isi chulin la'azara, da'arba minayu avdilu. So on the one hand, if you tell each of them to bring a new karban pesach, then by definition, four out of five of them are going to end up violating an isser of bringing chulin in the azara, because four out of five of them are not chayev to bring a new karban. They already brought their karban, so bringing chulin in the azara, the basement is a serious problem. On the other hand, leisei kulu chad pesach, nimtza pesach nechal shalo leminuya. Then on the other hand, if you're just going to bring one karban and basically say this karban should cover anyone who may not have been yotze, the problem is that not all five of them are registered for that one karban, so that's also a problem. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my nisei kol chad minayu pischo v'nisnei v'nei ima edd bamum haydai say hashtun heavy pesach the edd tam haydai say hashtun heavy shlomit. The Gemara says, but hang on one second. Why can't each of them bring their own karban and make the following stipulation? If my animal was the one with the mum, then this should be the real karban pesach. And if my animal did not have the mum, then this should just be a karban shlomim. And that would seemingly cover their bases. They would not run into a problem of bringing chulin in the azara. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not an option. Lo efshar mishum deika chazev ishok the kohanim huda achlile. Because there's a fundamental difference between the karban pesach and the karban shlomim, which is that by the karban shlomim, the kohanim have the right to partake of what's called the chazev ishok, the breast and the thigh of the animal, which is not the case when it comes to the karban pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, the nesei kol chad v'chad kohen bahadei. So why doesn't each of the five people also have a kohen sign up for their karban? So the Gemara says, well, what's the case exactly? Hi kohen hechidami ida avid pesach dilma hi pesach uvinimta pesach nachal shelo leminuya. If the kohen that you're signing up already fulfilled his mitzvah, he already brought his pesach rishon, he satisfied his obligation. So then you're signing up a guy. So then you're giving karban pesach to a guy who's not registered, which is also a problem. The ida lo avid pesach, if the guy did not bring the karban pesach, so then you have a further problem. Dilma shlomimu the lo avid pesach. So then the problem is that if this is one of the four guys who already was yotze the mitzvah, then this is going to be a shlomim, and the kohen that you're signing up is still not going to be yotze the mitzvah karban pesach. So four out of the five kohanim are still not going to be yotze. Then the Gemara says, okay, v'nesei kocham shachad kohen the lo avid pesach v'nimne ilave hani chamisha psachim demimanav shach ikachad the lo avid pesach v'kanavkebe. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we have all five guys sign up one kohen who definitely did not participate in the karban pesach before, and then by definition at least one of them is going to be bringing a valid karban pesach, and that should be enough to satisfy the obligation. The Gemara says, no, that's also not an option. Elam yishum to come in ma'id ba'achila shlamim, because the problem is that the time frame in which you're allowed to eat the karban pesach is much less than the time frame for the karban shlamim. The ilu pesach liyom v'layla v'ilu shlamim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad, because the karban pesach, we know you have to eat it by the end of the night. The karban shlamim, you have 2 days and one night to eat. So basically what you're doing is you're mitigating or you're limiting the time frame in which you can eat the karban, which is also a problem. Then the Gemara says, okay, v'nesei mosar ha-pesach v'neima edd balmum ha-yedai se hashta nehevi pesach edd tamu nehevi ha-yedai se hashta shlomim de mosar ha-pesach necha liyom v'layla echad. So now the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we designate this animal as what's called the mosar ha-pesach, literally the leftovers, or like the, basically almost like a backup or a default karban pesach, because the halacha is that karban can be eaten liyom v'layla echad for one day and one night, so there's a longer time frame in which you can eat the karban. And again, the guy should make the same stipulation. He should say, if I was already yotze the mitzvah, this should be a shlomim. If I was not already yotze the mitzvah, then this should be designated as the mosar ha-pesach, as the backup, as the leftover karban pesach. The Gemara says, that also doesn't make sense. V'chi mafrish and tchila le-mosaros. The Gemara says, but you don't designate something as a leftover, as a backup, l'chachila, right? In other words, the backup means if something happened to your karban, so then you could designate a backup. You don't start out by saying this is going to be a backup karban pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, v'nitshuchu v'naisei mosar ha-pesach. Okay, why don't we make the guy go out of his way to go and find an animal that was designated as a backup karban? The Gemara says, no. Elam yishum smicha. Ilu pesach lo bayi smicha, ilu mosar bayi smicha. The Gemara says, no, there's a further distinction between a regular karban pesach and the mosar ha-pesach, which is that a regular karban pesach does not require smicha. You don't have to lean on the karban, but the mosar ha-pesach does require smicha. So that's a fundamental difference. So the Gemara says, okay, ha-tenach karban anashim. Karban nashim ayikol ha-mimar. That's only true for a karban for men. But for women, as the Gemara Chagiga tells, that women are not obligated to do smicha in general. So then what would the difference be in the case of a woman? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elam yishum matanos, the ilu pesach matana achas, the ilu shlomim shtayim shehin arba. The Gemara says that the nafkamina lies in terms of the number of applications of blood that you sprinkle upon the mizbeach. Because the karban pesach only requires one application of blood upon the mizbeach, whereas the karban shlomim requires what the Mishnah in Zvachim calls shtayim shehin arba, which literally means two, which are four, which means you sprinkle blood on two ends of the mizbeach and the blood flows down to all four corners. So the Gemara asks, my nafkamina, v'hatnan kolani tarnal mizbeach achitzon shenesana b'matan achas kiper. The Gemara says, but at the end of the day, the Mishnah tells us in Zvachim that if a person went ahead and applied only one application of blood, b'dieved, it's still a valid karban. So even in the case of the shlomim, which normally requires 2/4 applications of blood, if you only went ahead and did one application, you would still be yotze b'dieved. You would still affect the kapara anyway. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elam yishum de ilu pesach b'shficha, the ilu shlomim b'zrika. The Gemara says, no, the difference is that the karban pesach doesn't just require an application of blood, but rather you have to pour the blood around the foundation of the mizbeach, whereas the karban shlomim merely requires zrikas hadam. So the Gemara says, again, my nafkamina, v'hatanya kol anitanim b'zrika. But still, the Braisa tells us that if a carbon should have required a sprinkling of the blood, and he went ahead and poured the blood, b'diavad, he would still be yotze. So the Gemara says no. Emar de carmina diavad lechatchila nami. The Gemara says because again, maybe lechatchila you're not supposed to do that. In other words, we're not going to encourage lechatchila that you should go ahead and apply the blood when you're supposed to be pouring it, or vice versa. And since we can't come up with a lechatchila solution here, the Gemara says that basically you're stuck in a corner, and that you're going to be pater from Pesach Sheni in the case where all the different hides of the animal got mixed up and one of them had a mum.